Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to a very, very exciting week. Parashas Bamidbar. We are literally a week away from Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the holiday Shavuos. We have a lot going on in the shul, Baruch Hashem. We have all-night learning. We have all-day learning on 2 days. Erev Shabbos is going to be a little bit tight, so we have a new setup this year. We're going to have an optional shiur after davening on Friday morning. After Shavuos morning, usually it's a little quicker davening, no drashos. So there'll be Rabbi Mandel's going to be giving a shiur after davening is over. And then Erev Shabbos, we're going to have some shiurim. Obviously, people need to go home, light candles, come back, meal in the shul. On Shabbos afternoon, we'll have a tremendous amount of programming, shiurim for kids, for adults. And Rabbi Yudin said yes yesterday. I'm very surprised he said yes. But I'm going to interview Rabbi Yudin on Shabbos afternoon before Mincha on the topic of his Torah influences in his life. People and Rabbanim and Gedolim that he interacted with in his life and what made him into who he is today. We'll get a little glimpse into that. I'm shocked he said yes. But I didn't even have to, okay. And that's very, very exciting. So that's going to take place on Shavuos this year, Ezra Hashem. Parshas Bamidbar. What is Sefer Bamidbar really all about? In English, we call the book of Bamidbar the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. So it's not really in English. Really, it's a Midrash. The Midrash calls the book of Bamidbar Chumash HaPikudim. Why? They count the Jewish people not once, but twice. Okay, we've counted them before. Now it's twice. Therefore, we're called the Chumash HaPikudim. So ask the Netziv, what is that really all about? What does that really tell us about the Sefer in general? That is question number one. Question number two is the following Medrash. The Medrash says that all five books of the Torah were already hinted to in the first Pasuk, or the second Pasuk in the Torah. Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or. God said, there should be light. Zu Chumash Bereishis. There should be light, meaning there's potential. That's Bereishis. Vayehi Or, and there is light, meaning that potential is now meted out. It's there. That is Shemos. Shemos, the Jewish people became a nation. We received the Torah. Kriyas Yamsov, built the Mishkan. The potential is there. Vayar Elokim Es Or Ki Tov. God sees the light and it is good. Zuvayikra. Now the Jewish people, the Mishkan, it's functioning. Things are happening. That is Vayikra. I'm skipping one phrase just to highlight the question. Vayikra Elokim L'or Yom. God called day. He called the light day, meaning we need to make this practical. That is Devarim. Devarim is getting us ready for the practicality and the consequences of living a life of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, that's really Sefer Devarim. Now, what is Bamidbar? Bayavdel Elokim, Bein Ha'or, Uvein HaKoshech. God separates, he separated the day between the light and the dark. Zu Chumash Bamidbar. Bamidbar is about separation. Havdal. Now, if you're following the bouncing ball, Bein Ha'or uVein HaChoshech. What are we separating between? Which two, separating between what and what? What's the light and what's the dark? No?
Light is Torah, dark is no Torah.
Light is Torah, dark is no Torah. So what's the no Torah part of their life? It's got to play itself out. So what does this mean? Practically, in the book of Bamidbar, where's the light and where's the dark? So Bamidbar is most of the stories that happened to the Jewish people. Sharon, what were we going to say?
Doing the right thing and not doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing and the mistakes, okay? The Choshech, good and bad. Okay, that's a good, a fair argument. You can argue that Bamidbar is about right choices and not right choices. Others say the following. It's a separation between the days or the years of light. That's the Jewish people living in the Midbar, and the days of darkness when they're not living in the Midbar. Were they living then? Eretz Yisrael. What are they separating between? But Midbar is not about Mitzrayim. They left Mitzrayim. That's over. That's in the past, right? We celebrate it all the time, but that's in the past. It's about separating now between this life and the next one. By Midbar and Eretz Yisrael. None of you wanted to say it because it feels uncomfortable to say, it feels very uncomfortable to say that the darkness is Eretz Yisrael. How can that be? Does it make sense? Yeah.
I like to say it better. It's the time that they were getting the hand down versus the time that they were going to step up to the plate.
100%. Right? So why is by Midbar light? The life and time to the Jewish people in the desert is light. Because what?
They went to Israel, they had many more princes, so they had much more opportunity to fail.
Okay. What were we going to say, Rivka? Or to succeed. Okay. Six the woman, so focus on the positive.
The positive.
They failed in Midbar too, with less mitzvahs. Yeah, potential. Yeah. So light is the Midbar because we saw Hashem in a very overt way. We saw Hashem. He was very clear. Yeah, you open up your door and Uber Eats is right there. The mom is right there. It's easy. Right? It was easy. You saw God all the time. You interacted with God all the time. You went to Eretz Yisrael. You had to work the land. You had more mitzvos. Amazing, but it was hard. You had to work much harder. Physically, the Jewish people never worked before. Now they're farmers, right? Milton's in a wax poetic about this generation, not working hard enough. So now that is Bamidbar. Bamidbar is separating between the days, the years of light, and the years of darkness, in Eretz Yisrael. We're not casting shade on the land of Israel, but it says something about the differences here. And this really highlights, the Netziv writes, the major theme of the whole book. The whole book is the Jewish people struggling with the next stage, right? The reason why many say the Jewish people sent the Meraglim into Eretz Israel is because they were afraid. Even when the Meraglim came back with a bad report, they were afraid to move on. They wanted this existence forever. They're afraid to what's going to happen next. I don't know. It's Choshech. It's darkness. They tell us we're going to have to do all these things. It's a lot. I don't know if we can handle it. So the book of Numbers, why do you need numbers? If God is winning all your wars, we don't need numbers. I need to know how many people live in Israel today. But if we are fighting our own wars, and we have our own army, yes, Hashem is there for us. We learned already together with this. We learned Sefer Shoftim, or in the middle of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We know, we're aware that Hashem is always going to be there with us, but it's a very different type of relationship. Yes.
So that behavior is really born on by the slave mentality, which Hashem calls. And one thing that you said over Shabbos that struck a bell with me is I think if they didn't have that slave mentality, I don't know how quickly they would have said that Hashem to Ishma.
Right. So
it's like coming from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the positive. They were able to say that seven dish, because they had the same account. Either way, I can't make a decision.
Yeah.
So you have to do like both ends.
100%. You're saying, one second, Shira. So Mendy, you're saying that the slave mentality is really what brought them here. That generation was out, right? But for us, there's transitions. You know, think about, we decide to get married. Some people, it's very hard, you know. My relationship with my parents, what's going to be, I'm moving to a different house. I'm responsible now to pay the electric bill. Like, forget about the money, the non-money. how do I do all these things? Who's gonna pay for the food? How's the food getting under the table? You know, how's the food gonna get there? Yeah, you get a job, but who's still making the food? So my mom, my dad, they were taking care of me. So they were coddled in a sense, and that was Hashem wanted the Jewish people to be that way, but now wasn't gonna be that way. So what's gonna happen next? And there's a certain fear and anxiety that comes up. And a lot, and the Netziv says over and over again throughout all of the sins that happen to the Jewish people, the mistakes they make in the Midbar, all come back to this one core issue, is that there's a fear of the unknown. There's a fear of transition. There's anxiety without knowing what's going to happen next. Shira.
Is there a pressure between, you're talking about that the life in Eretz Canaan represents like the years or days of darkness. Is there any kesher between that and the fact that is this a form of a makat choshech for Bnei Israel since they were exempt in Mitzrayim?
What do you mean?
In other words, I just thought it was interesting. You know, you're referring to this as the days of darkness. And they didn't really have the darkness in Mitzrayim. And so now they're getting some form of darkness. I just thought that the parallel was interesting.
Choshech, the word play.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about it.
Okay.
Think about it. Okay. Give me some homework. Okay. Milty.
Why is it safer?
So truth is I misspoke. It's Bimidbar. Because that we go based on the first words in the story, in the parsha. What Vaydaber Hashem, this is good segue, Melty, thank you, because we're focusing on the first pasuk. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe, Bimidbar Sinai, the Ohal Moed, the Achad HaChodesh Hasheni, the Shana Hashenis, the Tseisam, the Eretz Yisrael Limor. That's the first pasuk. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai, the Sinai desert, in the Ohel Moed, or at the Ohel Moed, on the first day of the second month. What day is that? What's the second month here? Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. The Rosh Chodesh Lunch and Learn with Hashem and Moshe. Amazing. And Bishana, Sheni, it's the second year. Let's say some from the time the Jewish people left Egypt. Right, so they took the word from Vayikra, also Devarim, it's all from the first Sukkim. The Netziv has an introduction to every single Chumash, and he writes about what the Midrash refers to all the Sfarim asks. That's what he does. Vayikra in English is Leviticus, right? Leviticus comes from the word Levi. Levi, it's called Torah Kohanim in English. And in the Midrash calls it Torah Kohanim. Right? It's very, very similar to that translation. So says the Midrash over here, preparing for Shavuos, Begimel Dvarim Nisna Torah. The Torah was given with three modalities, right? In three ways. A lot of education today is about you have to have multimodal teaching. It can't just be audio. It can't just be visual. You have to have multiple ways because there are multiple types of learners, like we mentioned and had a very important discussion about on Monday night in the shul. Ba'esh, ba'mayim, uva'midbar. The Torah is given in these three contexts, with fire on the mountain, b'mayim, with water, and in the midbar. So what does this mean? Like, what's the deeper message of this midrash? So two answers. One is the Necheshev Sofer. These are all quoted in the Torah Das written by Matthias Blum, who passed away just a few years ago. He's a rabbi in Queens at a shul there. And he writes the following, that what this Medrash is really alluding to is that the Torah is accessible to everybody, b'chol makom b'chol zman, no matter what situation they are in. So often people say, I'm not a Torah learner. Like, that's for like the other people. That's for the smart people. That's for the people that are capable of having a schedule. Those are the people that, can get up in the morning. It's not for me, right? It's for the firmer people. It's not for me. Ba'esh, ba'mayim, ba'midbar. He says, number one, that kasher ta'ir al adam shemesh atzlacha, right? Somebody that is being tremendously matzliach and very successful. Right? Too often, let's say, you know, in their business, they're too focused. I need to support the Torah, which is very, very important, right? Shavuos campaign right now, we have to support the Shavuos campaign. Also, I have to focus on my business. I don't have time to learn. No. When you are in fire and passion, you have to channel some of that passion to Torah too. Mayim, he says, starts up high and goes down low. Some people feel depressed, very low. It's not for me. No. The Torah is for you too. The Torah is for you also. You're not the best, the greatest. You feel very, very namuch, very, very low. The water goes from up on high and it travels down low. The Torah is for you. And finally, the Midbar. You feel very distant. The Midbar is in the middle of nowhere. The Torah was given in the Midbar. The Midbar is mufkar lakol. It belongs to nobody. So some people, I didn't grow up with it. I didn't have it in my home. Can't read English. I can't read Hebrew. I don't know the concepts. I don't know the terms. The Torah is for you too. And thank God today we live in a generation where there's access to Torah in so many different ways. YouTube, podcasts, English, Hebrew, Spanish. It's in every single language. It's amazing. And you really, it's so accessible today all the time. That one idea about Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. For Meir Shapiro was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin in Lublin, famous Lubliner Yeshiva. And he founded Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi today is starting a new Masechta, Masechtas Gittin. And there, he writes something different. What is Eish, Mayim, and Midbar? It refers to three tests, nisyonos, the Jewish people went through. People go through a lot of tests in their lives. What are the three tests? Fire was Avram Avinu, Kivshana Eish. Mayim, Yamsuf. And the Midbar is the Jewish people going into the Midbar, a place that was desolate and had nothing, leaving the fruitful land of Egypt on that fateful day, Pesach. So Eish, Mayim, and Midbar, that countering Torah doesn't mean life is going to be easy. You're going to have nisyonos. We all go through nisyonos, let's be honest. We all go through our own personal tests. And part of life is to acknowledge that and to keep Torah with us. The Torah is something that can be kept with us through those tests and help guide us as we go on in life in our own tribulation, whether it's Eish, a Mayim, or a Midbar. And that's thought number two for today. Yeah. Say it again.
When they went into Israel, the Torah was available in 70 languages.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So, very nice. Yes, he's saying, it's actually Daf Yomi last week or two weeks ago. So our Pesukim and Kitabo tell us that when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, they had to erect stones, had to write the Torah on it, the Er HaTev. One interpretation of Er HaTev means they had to write in 70 languages. Okay? Translated it into 70 languages. And like, what's the purpose of it? So I think what you're saying is that like, the Torah is accessible. The Torah is accessible to anybody and people should know that themselves. Rav Hirsch writes there, the rocks were as they entered the land of Israel. Why were the rocks there? It was almost like a mezuzah on entering the land of Israel. So it's like a beautiful, beautiful idea. So it says the Torah, Vayifkodosam, this is Gimel Tezayim, Vayifkodosam, Al Pi Hashem, Kasher, Vayifkodosam Moshe, Al Pi Hashem, Kasher Tzuva. Moshe counted them based on what Hashem told him, like he commanded them. It's like very verbose over here. So says Rashi, what does this mean? Amar Moshe thank God Ishbarach. Heyachani nichnas besoch o haleim ladas minyan yonkehem. You asked me to count the people. How am I going to count them? I can't go into their tents and count all their babies. Like, what do you want me to do? Right? We still have census takers. They come to our door, or like we have to just fill out forms out. I remember the days when, like, you know, every 10 years, the census in America, they knock on your door. Right? So Moshe's saying, how do I know whether, like, they're going to give me an accurate information? You know, how do I know? This is very, very important. So Hashem says, Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, Aseh ata shalchas, v'ani aseh ani, et sheli. You do your thing, and I'll do mine. Rabbi Yudin says, you do yours, and I'll do mine. Halach Moshe v'amad al pesach. Moshe would stand by the entrance to the tent. V'ashchina makdemes lefanav, u'baschol yotam in o'el v'omeres kach v'kach tinokos yeshbo. Moshe would stand by the entrance to the tent. Hashem would tell him, this is the amount of people in the tent. And that's what it means by Yifkodos of Moshe, Api Hashem Kashir Tzuva, that Moshe didn't know what to do because how was he going to get accurate information? So Hashem said to him, Api Hashem, you go to the tent and I will tell you what happened. I will tell you the amount of people inside. So he asks Rav Drick, I would say notices. Moshe could have easily said, I'm going in. I'm going in. You know why? Because Hashem said I need to count the amount of people. It's very, very important. So I'm going to go in right now. And with the mantle of this is Torah, I need to do this and go in. Then that thought never crossed Moshe's mind. Why? Because there's a basic sense of decency that every single person needs to have. Too often, people yell out in the name of Torah and mitzvot and do things that are indecent, that are inappropriate, and are wrong. Moshe is teaching us important midos that we have to be careful. Now, even though we may be justified, we might be right, sometimes it's better not to say. He quotes a story from Moshe Feinstein that when Moshe was in shul, I remember when I in YU, in the old base medrash, YU base medrash, there was a payphone outside. Everybody here knows what a payphone is. I was teaching I spoke in my daughter's high school a few weeks ago, and I told them a story, and part of the story was with a payphone. They said, raise your hands. If you know what a payphone is, third of the room, raise their hands. All right, it's generations. What?
When the teenager has to pay for their own cell phone.
Right, like who carries, even a payphone said, who carries quarters? You know, it's like, so, okay. So in YU, they had a payphone, and people would call. Sometimes it would be someone's girlfriend, get the guy for that. And but sometimes if like someone needed to ask Rav Shechter or Shaila, how would they get in touch with him? Rav Shechter's in the base medrash all day long. Call the payphone, right? You pick up the payphone, you get Rav Shechter. So this is what happened to MTJ. Someone called the payphone outside, and they said Ramosh. They called got Ramosh to Babadi, and he said very important. You have to get him. And so as he was leaving, there was a young man, he's still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Obviously, there was a point where Moshe was able to leave. You know, the young man still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right by the door. Moshe wouldn't walk past him. So they have to wait. They said, Rebbe, they said it's important. So I'll wait a few minutes. There is a wall in front of me. There's a wall in front of me. Halach is. Some say it's basic decency. It's not a... This man is having a conversation with Hashem. This woman's talking to Hashem right here. How can I walk past them? It's not right. It's just not right. I can't... Meaning, halachically, could he do it? Yeah, of course. He couldn't bring himself to do it. Halachically, could Moshe justify going into the tent? Probably. But he couldn't bring himself to do it. And that's so important. Sometimes we need to catch ourselves. This really connects to the second idea. This is the fourth idea for today, but it really connects to this idea. This is a thought from Rapam. Rapam, Zatzal, I hear from his students. I never had the chutzpah to meet Rapam. But Rabbi Reisman quotes this idea from Rapam very often. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron le'mor." At the end of the parsha, we count the Levim separately, and we learn about the jobs of the Levim. Al tachrisu es shevet mishpachos akasi mitoch ha-Levim. Do not let the tribe of Kahas families be cut off from amongst the families. Now, what does that mean? Do not let them be cut off. Kahas had this chus of carrying the Aron, right? What does that mean? They carried the Aron. They really didn't carry the Aron, but they had this chus of making it appear as if they carried the Aron. But what would Sheva Kahas do? They would fight. They would fight over who gets his chus. Push and shove, hurt each other. And that's not right. So it says the Torah, Al tachrisu, don't, Hashem, look, they're doing it for the right reasons. Don't punish them for this, but it's still not right. Right? They competed for this chus. And Rapam said, this is really called Mishkal Chasidus. Mishkal Chasidus, it's hard to translate into English, but he would say that this is one of the most important concepts in Torah. Chasidus doesn't mean wearing payas and a bekasha. Chasidus is a higher level than being a tzaddik. Tzaddik is doing what Hashem asks you to do. Chasidus it means going above and beyond. And there's an entire section in the Sefer Mesil Shesharim on this topic of being a chassid. Being a chassid means going above and beyond what Hashem wants. But he has a chapter. Mesil Shesharim is written by Moshe Chaim Lutzatel, one of the greats from the 1700s. And he says, too often, what do people do? I'm from. I should be in the front of the line. And they weigh out, or they don't weigh properly, all the factors. And their tunnel vision on one thing and one thing only. The example Rapam gives, and I'm printed out, the example Rapam gives is that a wife is waiting at home for her husband, and she made him a beautiful dinner, and every night he comes home at 6. And tonight, 6, 6.15, 6.30, 7 o'clock, he comes home at 8 o'clock. Okay? Get into a car accident. Again, the times are only at payphones, right? You can't update people. Oh, no. Someone needed a chesed. So I drove them an hour away. And I drove them and I came back home. That's unbelievable. That's a great chesed. You could part person to chesed. Rapam says that person's not a chesed. His wife was waiting for him at home. At the very least, you need to communicate that. At the very least, you have to say something, right? And maybe you ask somebody else to do that mitzvah because you have competing mitzvahs over here. So it was amazing zechus to carry the aron, but not if you're going to fight over the aron. Not if you're going to fight over the aron. That is something that we always need to weigh out. Moshe Rabbeinu had a mitzvah to count the Jewish people. I can't go into the tent. I can't do it. It's a mitzvah. Hashem said, not at this expense. I'm not going to do it. We always need to weigh out all of the priorities when it comes to our observance. Last idea. So we mentioned today, we began with the separation, or in Choshech, Chumash HaPikudim, the mitziv. an amazing medrash. The transition to theme of Bereishis, a theme of Midbar. Then we continue with Eish, Mayim, and Midbar, what that means. Then we had two very overlapping ideas from Rav Druk and from Rav Pam about Mishkal Chasidos, the Kahatim, Sheva Kahas would fight, and Moshe Rabbeinu refused to go in. You see that that's actually come from the same family. Fascinating. Last idea comes over here from the beginning of the parasha, kept Jewish people, says the Tiva Torah, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, says the following, the Tchila Sefer Memidbar, Pirta HaTorah Barichos, Todo Sheh B'nei Yisrael, Umona Misparam Bichlalos. We count the Jewish people, the specifics, we count their families, and all the Shvatim. The Efsher Limo Mizet Dever Chashav. It's important to learn something very, very significant from you. Sheroin Anu, Adam Yachid Doros Rabim La'alfim L'Revavos. From one person, we can have thousands and hundreds of thousands of people can come from one individual. Right? All the Shvatim, all we met, we just counted men 20 to 60. That's it. 20 to 60. Zehu. This all came from Shivim Nefesh. This came from 70 people just 2 centuries earlier, right? 2 centuries. Unbelievable. Havanis Boni. Yaakov Avinu Shaya Ish Echad Yatzu Nimenu Shneim Asar Shvatim. Yaakov had 12 Shvatim. 70 people. And now, whoa. Unbelievable. This shows us the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Now, at one moment in time, we could look like we are so low, and now we could flourish. We flourish tremendously. That is literally a miracle. If you look around, tomorrow we'll be celebrating, tonight, tomorrow, Yom Yerushalayim. Right? For those that were living during that time, it was a huge miracle. I'll say it overshadowed in many ways 48. 48 is only on the table in right? 75 years because we the miracles of the Six-Day War. The Jewish people, 75 years ago after the Shoah, there's a question whether we'd last, you know, even an entire generation. And look at us now, right? And look at us now, right? We said that Kol Mimiyusi Artzeinu, that really is the message of Yom Yerushalayim. Kol Mimiyusi, standing up straight, confident, strong, and extremely proud of where we are right now. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.